Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm David McDonald. Recently, I was down in Guatemala attending a wonderful, huge event in Guatemala City called Eventos Católicos Fair. And I got the joy of learning how to sing in Spanish, which was quite a blast. And we were just really enjoying each other's company. It was a fantastic unity among artists all over Latin America. It draws about 75,000 people. And on one end of the fairgrounds, they have surgeons from the United States doing free surgeries as a form of evangelization on people. They have three stages that have audiences of about 3,000 people at them. All the Christian organizations in the region have booths there and are able to network and share with people the faith. It is a wonderful event. And I was able to share the stage with some excellent music ministries from all over Latin America. Today we're going to speak with one of those music ministers. Her name is Hela. Hela is a remarkable woman. She is probably one of the best known singers in Latin America. And she came up through the ranks through the school of hard knocks. She grew up in a family where her father beat her mother, and there was a lot of alcoholism in the family. She got cancer and overcame cancer in her throat and has gone on to a wonderful singing career. We'll also be speaking with Orlando Coronado, who is the organizer of this event. We're going to ask him how he responded to his relationship with Christ. It was such a radical thing to turn an empty park into a huge annual event that draws 75,000 people. We hope you join us for the next 30 minutes on Bridging the Gap. Several months ago, I bought a laptop and a mobile sound card, and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I had no idea that I was going to end up doing this show, but the Lord's grace provided me with those things, so I was able to record Hela down in Guatemala City. We'll pick up the interview there. Hela, are you seeing what John Paul II described as a new springtime of the Spirit in the church? Are you seeing sort of the Holy Spirit sort of blow through the churches and wake up people in your travels?
Yes, I do. I do see it more lately, more often in all the families that I go into, the different churches, Catholic churches that invite me to do concerts. It's just arising. It's like something that's happening. The Holy Spirit is just doing it.
I'm really catching a vibe down here in Guatemala. There's just like a wind blowing through the church, and it's waking up, you know. A great giant is sort of waking up. Let me ask you, in your own personal journey, when was it that you really felt Jesus is really alive and I can really experience him in my heart, when you had that sort of personal conversion and kind of thing?
Well, it happened 12 years ago when I was about to sign a contract for so many years for regular music. And I was like 2 days before, and that's when the Lord made the calling, you know, to me. I was, unfortunately, and this is what happens to a lot of people, that we have to be going through a lot of problems in order for us to lift our eyes up in the air and say, hey, Lord, I need your help. And that's what happened with me, you know. And I say unfortunately, but it's fortune that that happened. Now I thank the Lord because of that.
What did the guys who wanted you to sign the contract say when you said, well, actually, I'm not going to do this contract. I'm actually going to go and sing for Jesus?
Well, they said that I was crazy, that who is this guy that I was going to go sing for? And I said, well, it's the Lord, and it's mi Señor, you know, in Spanish. I told him, mi Señor. And they're like, what? One man? Is that my Lord? You know, they couldn't believe it, and I thought I was going to be put in jail because they had bought me dresses. We did a regular secular music CD. They paid for everything, and it was 2 days before that this calling came to me from the Lord. It was at a convention center in LA. I remember well, 12 years ago, and I went in there and I saw all these people clapping and happy and yelling and praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. And I thought, oh my God, where did I come, you know? And then there was the Lord waiting for me to tell me not to put my trust on, you know, fame and money. That's vain, you know, that's going to go away. His love will never go away.
It reminds me of the parable of the 10 talents that we read about in Matthew 25:15, where Jesus talks about burying your talent. And this is works very well in English. I'm sure that in the Greek, the word talent didn't actually translate to what we understand talent to be today. But isn't that true, eh? That you faithfully stepped back and said, no, I'm not going to do this secular thing. I found the Lord. Now, and I'm going to give my talent back to Him. And now you travel all over Central and South America and the U.S. singing for the Lord, and He's using you in a powerful way.
That's what it is. I go and sing, and I try to reach young kids, you know, adults and older people too, you know. My music, I think that it has reached a lot of people, especially my testimony. You know, my dad was an alcoholic, and my spiritual guy is a Jesuit, and he said, you know, Hela, you need to do your testimonial in a CD. And I said, I don't think that's going to do any good. And I'm so glad that he encouraged me to do that. And my dad was a alcoholic, and he used to beat up my mom, and then he abandoned us. And I recorded that on a CD, and it's helped so many people. It's healed so many hearts out there, and especially in our Latin families that go through that. Machismo, which is, you know, how do you say that word? Machismo, machuism, is that we suffer that, and all Latin America is going through that. Alcohol is like leprosy that's come to us, you know, and it's eating our families. And we need to talk about this. We need to make people aware that the people that drink, that it's a disease that needs to be healed, and that there's something in their heart that is hollow, and only the love of Christ is going to heal that. And that is my message that I'm trying to put up there with my testimony. My dad, you know, he left us, and I had that against him when I was growing up. I was trying to find something to shield that, to cover that, and that was, I was trying to find it in the secular music, you know, trying to feel that gap in my heart that was missing. And when I went to this convention in LA, he told me, I've been with you all this time, you know, I am the one that can, you know, heal all that past. And he has. And now that he has healed me, I transmit that message to the families, to the young kids that are starting to drink. There's something in their heart that's missing, and that is the Lord.
Well, you're talking to an alcoholic who recovered 15 years ago, so I certainly understand what you're talking about there. Whatever our addiction is, whether it be food or alcohol or drugs or work, pornography or sex, anything like that, there's that hole inside the human spirit that is longing for the Lord Jesus and will not rest until it finds Him, and it will look in other things. And it's just so wonderful that you responded to that. Can you tell us a story of a situation where someone came back to you and said that you made a difference in their life?
Sure. There's a guy that called me from Chicago, Illinois, said that he went to a video store, and his little kid grabbed my video, because the picture in the front is me when I was little in the middle of Margaritas Amarillas, which is a daisies. And I'm in the middle, and the kid thought it was a kid's music cartoon. He wanted it, and the dad had to rent it for him because he even cried for the video. So he takes it home, and he puts it on for the kids. He goes out in their yard. He comes back in, finds his kids sitting in front of the TV crying away with me. Because I share the testimony, and every time I bring those memories back, you know, I can't help crying overseeing, you know, my mom getting beat up by my dad drinking. And I'm sharing that, and the little kids were crying and crying. And this guy called me that day after, trying to reach me, and I grabbed the phone, and he's telling me over the phone how his life is going to change, and he wanted to order 8 videos because he wants to share them with other people that he knows, even his own daughter that married an alcohol. He's going to give that video to him so his daughter does not go through what he's made his family go through. And he stopped drinking. He stopped beating his wife. And this happened like 3 weeks ago that I received this call. And so many calls that I see, people and live concerts that come up to me and say, you know, I really admire you because it's not easy to share a story like this, go through all that pain over again. But you know what? We have to do it. We have to do it to feel other people's pain and know what they're going through, and open your heart in that pain so the Lord can come in and clean all that out. And that's what my message is at the moment with my music, my testimonial. I don't stop. I go, you know, I have 4 hours to unpack and pack again every day of the year. 2006 is full. 2007 is getting up there. And a ton of list of people invited me to churches. And not only that, I have another testimonial. 3 years ago, exactly at the fair, I started with the symptoms, fever. I didn't know what it was. Here in the Feria Católica, this event that we're in right now in Guatemala, they discover a 5.9 centimeter cyst in my throat. My voice did not used to be like this. My voice was thinner, softer. Now it's kind of hoarseness, but people say that they like it. The Lord has made it the way He wants it. From here, I went to U.S. right away because the doctor here told me, you need to go see a doctor right away. And I took the x-rays from here, from Guatemala to U.S., and I go in, they do an ultrasound, and they detect carcinoma in my thyroid. And for me, that was something very difficult that I went through 3 years ago. You know, when I saw the document that I had a carcinoma, my world just came down. And my question was, why? Why me if I sing to the Lord? Well, you know what? Sometimes we don't understand why, but He does understand why. Now I understand it because in a mass, after a mass, Friday, it was a Friday, in my church, Our Lady in Guadalupe in Ontario, California, I went there to put my life again in the hands of my Lord and said, here's my life. I go next Wednesday to see the surgeon to see what's going to happen with me. As soon as the mass ended, I got up to, you know, leave the church. And when I lift my eyes towards the altar, there was the Holy Eucharist. They expose Him out. And that's when I landed on my knees. I don't know how. And I just started crying and talking to my Lord. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody touching my elbow. And it's my husband saying, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. Do you want to leave? I said, no. This is the best moment that I felt good after I've been told that I have cancer in my throat. Just leave me with my Lord a little bit longer. And he's like, well, look at you. Look at your face. I said, what's wrong with my face? You're all red. It's like somebody painting you with a color red. And I said, I feel fine. But look at you. You're all wet, all soaked. And every time I talk about this, I get soaked. It's like my whole body gets in sweats. And I told him, I feel fine. Let me talk with my Lord. Leave me a little bit longer. And we stayed there. I don't know how long we stayed. And that tumor, that cyst was, it grew this big. It was 5.9 centimeters. And it kept growing and growing and growing. And one of the surgeons said that I needed to be operated right away. And I could lose all my vocal cords and everything. I was going to end up with a little hole here with a little tube on my throat, and I would never be able to sing. But I put my hands in the Lord. That was Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the sixth day. Isn't that a miracle? The sixth day is a number so significant. The sixth day, I go in there with the surgeon, and he examines me and starts looking at the paperwork from Guatemala, because then I went to Mexico and they did blood work and they confirm it. And he saw all the paperwork and he's like, what is your name? And I tell him my name. What is your date of birth? And I tell him that. And he's like, well, let me see your throat again. He was all nervous, the surgeon. He finally says, you know what? Guatemala papers, Mexico papers, U.S. paper says that there is a 5.9 centimeter tumor in your throat, but there's nothing in there. But we have to go in with a needle to get a specimen and send it to the lab. He goes in with a needle, no anesthesia, nothing. He goes in there, and you know what comes out? Crushed blood. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And he was like nervous, and he's like, I don't know what's going on. Hold on, because I was crying. And I knew that my Lord was doing a miracle on me. I knew it. I just felt it. I knew it, that my trust in Him, He would not put me down. And He takes out the second needle. He goes in, and He draws out again, crushed blood. The surgeon did not know how could crushed blood go through a needle so fine, so thin, the size of a finger, into the syringe. He couldn't figure out how did it happen. He did it the third time. Finally got a regular mass, kind of a normal specimen. He put a patch in my neck. 8 days without talking or saying yes or no. The document came back. It said some kind of a massive thing that they couldn't describe. They don't know what it was. So the surgeon called me back. It went in my throat again with a needle. Another 8 days without talking, the result came back and it said, zero células cancerosas, no carcinoma no more.
What a miracle, eh?
Praise the Lord.
This is an example of what faith can do for us. It's an example of saying yes to the Lord and really putting your faith in Him. The Lord doesn't always choose to heal us, but those physical miracles of the New Testament are alive today. The age of miracles is still with us. And, you know, you're speaking with someone who couldn't talk for 3 years. But I was on Broadway in the U.S. National Tour of Cats. I lost my voice on that show, and I lost my career. I was 24 years old, and I never thought I'd ever sing again. The doctors saw a swelling in my voice, and so I can really understand what you're talking about. And here I am, you know, I don't have the voice I had when I was on Broadway, but I'm doing okay. We're just preparing for such a great evening tonight. There's an incredible spirit amongst all of the artists who are involved in this, coming together as a people of God and witnessing to those people who are going to come by and watch this concert about what's really happening in our lives through music. We're going to do that, and we're going to turn around and give those 10 talents back to the Lord. You know, we're investing them in His kingdom. Thank you so much, Hala, for coming in and joining me today, and have a wonderful rest of the evening.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your program. Malaquías se va pa'l sur, pa'l oriente, pa'l occidente, en el nombre de Jesús.
We have here with us Orlando, who is really the organizer of this whole thing. He's the brains and the visionary behind this incredible fair. And I just want to ask Orlando, how did you come to the vision of what you're see, of everything that we see here today? What was in your heart when you first dreamed of this? How did that all come about?
La verdad no lo sé.
He says he really doesn't know how it happened, but he knew that he had to do a feast with all these talents and unite them in this fair. He says he came one day and he stood up on top of this hill of this fair grounds with his wife and saw it all full. It was the feast of the beer, and there all there was drunk people. And he told his wife, one day this park is going to be filled of Christian people that glorify the Lord. He went to the bishop and told them the idea of making a fair, which means feast. And the bishop told him, I don't think it'll work. It'll never work. Orlando told the bishop, let me try it. And then the bishop told him, Orlando, the priests are going to kill me because we're not used to these new things and I don't know how they're going to take it. Our Pope John Paul II said in Republica Dominicana that the church needed to be renewed in new methods in flames and in enacting. Nobody will believe. They had a fight against everybody because nobody thought that this was a good idea to be done. He said that the Catholic fair, for 10 years, they were in debit and zeros, owing money, and he was about to go to jail twice because of the fair. He says that after that, they were able, the fair alone, sustain the cost of the fair by itself. And now, nobody believes in Christ that they could do it. It's all in faith. He says the fair is something that the Lord revealed to him. He used to do 33 events a year. And here the Lord revealed to him that only two events were for the Lord. Those two events are mine, the Lord told him. And whatever you do in those two events, glorify me, the Lord said. He says the fair is sometimes unpredictable because one year there's be a lot of people, the other year there's less people, but the cost is always the same. It's millions of quetzales that he uses to do the fair.
Porque esto es una cruz. Esto es por fe.
He says, this is because of faith. You don't know what's going to go on. This is because of the cross, because of the Holy Spirit that holds them.
I was really touched by the story of how you started the hospital. Could you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Yo me sigo sorprendiendo por Dios.
He says he keeps being surprised by the Lord because it's a faith road that doesn't know where it's going to take him. They never thought they would ever have a hospital, Eventos Capitolicos, which is obras, which they give, clothing and all of that, and x-rays and all of that. They never thought they would ever have that. He says that it's very hard. It's like being crazy. He gets into a lot of trouble by doing all this hospital thing, all these events, but it's the Lord that gets him out of through all these problems.
Quien ama se complica. Quien no ama simplifica.
Who loves gets problems. Who doesn't love, simple life. He says he doesn't know what he's gonna do tomorrow. He can tell you what he's doing today. They see at the fair 5,000 people a day, doctors treating them every day. Now he has a home of homeless. He goes out on the streets and picks up the homeless, and he never thought he would ever do that.
And when in your life did you get touched by the Lord? What happened that made you want to turn your life around and just step out in faith and do all this stuff that people who don't know the Lord think is crazy?
Yo estaba en un motel teniendo sexo con una mujer.
He was in a motel having sex with a woman. He was all night having sex with this lady, but he had an invitation to a retreat. He finally went to the retreat. He said when he got to the retreat, he was smelling like a woman, another woman, and he was drunk. He had never read the Bible or never heard of Jesus Christ. He told the nun, I cannot give this retreat. I don't know what to do. And they told him, we believe in you that you can do it. His friends were waiting for him outside in the car with beer. And he told his friends, come and help me. And they didn't want to help him. They left him alone and told the priest and the nun, are you guys sure you want me to do this? He started crying 6 hours. And they told him, yes, we believe in you.
Yo comencé a hablar con Jesús.
And he started talking to Jesus. While he was crying, he didn't realize that all the nuns of that congregation were surrounding him. After the 6 hours of crying, he opened his eyes and saw all the people surrounding him. And he was like shy. He told Jesus.
Thank you so much, Orlando, for sharing your testimony with us and sharing your vision. You know, and this is something that all of us as Christians really need to take as a model, to step out in faith once we get touched by the Lord, to step out in action and do something great for Him.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your program. Hi, everybody in Canada. This is Hella saying hi. And remember, we're not alone. The Lord is always with us.
In coming weeks, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Z, as he's affectionately known in Latin America. He is a Catholic surgeon from the United States who travels throughout Latin America performing free surgery as a form of evangelization, as a response to his personal relationship with Christ. A few upcoming events that you might be interested in. On May 11th, on Parliament Hill, will be the annual March for Life. 6,000 people will be gathering on Parliament Hill to speak to our politicians to say that we want to protect the lives of the unborn. There will be great music there, and we have a huge sound system. Please join us there. The following day, from May 12th to May 14th, will be the Humani Vitae Conference at Lansdowne Park. And that will be talking about contraception and how we should respond to it in our Catholic culture. We'd love to see you there. More about all of these events online at www.catholicbridge.com. In section 1426 to 1430 of the Catechism, we are invited to have a second conversion, to have a personal encounter with Christ. It is a part of our Catholic faith. My prayer is that for those of you who may not have had that experience, that you will invite Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you'd like to reach us here at Bridging the Gap, you can contact us online at catholicbridge.com. That's catholicbridge.com on the internet. We have lots of resources there, information about upcoming shows, and you can order the show online also on CD, and you can make comments. We have a blog up there that you can talk about the various shows. You can find links to the websites of people we interview on the show and more information about them. We'd love to hear from you online at www.catholicbridge.com. And until then, we pray that the Lord will bless you and your family.
David MacDonald fell into addiction and lost his voice completely.
For 3 years, I communicated by writing on a notepad. I never thought I'd ever sing again.
The Lord had other plans.
I remember that emptiness inside of me, and I didn't know Jesus back then.
But on a Christian retreat, the Lord touched David's life.
I picked up a guitar and I just started strumming on it and singing at the top of my lungs. And that night with 20 people meant more than my opening in New York, because it was about Him.
In the Holy of Holies, we fall down before Thee. There is no end.
Life is the only choice. Available at Salem Storehouse. David's full testimony is online at www.davidmacd.com. That's www.davidmacd.com.
I don't wanna join.